This is Terry Beatley, your host of What If We've Been Wrong? I'm shining light into some dark places so that beauty, goodness, and truth defeat the schemes of the enemy. It's true, people are perishing for lack of knowledge, and we're instructed to have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I do on What If We've Been Wrong? Rethink, explore, and uncover some hidden truths so that more people can experience an abundant life and the joy of being set free from the shackles that hold us in prison. Welcome to What If We've Been Wrong? Alice, you started Virginia Women for Trump. And I just want to tackle that beast right there, because you have taken an idea, turned it into a reality with a tremendous amount of hard work. Tell us, first off, what is Virginia Women for Trump? And then I just want to follow it up with, why did you start it? And then we'll get into the how you started it. But first, what is it?
Okay. It is a movement. It's a movement on its own, and it is women all across the state of Virginia and beyond who have supported President Trump, most of them actually, from day one. And the purpose is to campaign for him, to do everything possible to get him now, to get him reelected, but at the time, to get him elected, and to follow his example. Women are very powerful, and the best way to reach people is one-on-one, word of mouth, you know, touching, feeling, wherever you go. And so that was what we did, and we had women of all ethnic backgrounds, and that was one of my purposes, bringing women of all ethnic backgrounds together, just as Americans, no pockets of different ethnicities here and there.
Well, that's one way the socialist left has one of their tactics. It's always divide and conquer, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And what you found, well, just like you said, there are so many women of all sorts of ethnicities who were so sick of politics as usual, and Donald Trump represented a breath of fresh air. He doesn't need this job, right, Alice?
That's right. Well, this is what I said to everyone. This is a billionaire who gave up his amazing lifestyle. There was nothing that he needed. There was nothing that he didn't already have. There was only one purpose, and that was love of country and love of the people of this country. But the media made it so impossible for a lot of people to see that, and they're still working at that. But that is President Trump's motivation, to make this country great again. And he's getting there. He really is getting there.
He is getting there, and a lot of the good things, the positive things that he has done, they still don't show up in the media, and they probably never will. But before we get into maybe all the great things he's done, I'm just staying focused on the Women for Trump. Can you give us, please, the back history of how you got inspired to start Virginia Women for Trump? And part of this is your personal experience of living in different countries, socialist countries, or countries that were sliding towards socialism. You come with a very unique perspective. Shine some light on that.
Well, I lived in seven countries all over the world, you know, Ireland, England, Hong Kong, 13 years. I was just over the hill, as it were, during the Cultural Revolution. I lived 4 years in Singapore, which is like a soft dictatorship, very good, but doesn't, and works for Singapore, would never work here. I lived 7 years in Canada, of course, sliding towards socialism, and I lived 2 years in Africa, and that was where I realized, oh my gosh, did I ever realize how fortunate the people in this country really, really are. And so that really influenced me. But Virginia Women for Trump, it was partly, I heard the candidate Trump at CPAC in February 2015. But it was a spiritual thing. I really, in my heart, believed that God was sending us the strong warrior that we needed at this time in history. And I prayed about it, and at first, I was a little hesitant to tell anyone, But the words that came into my heart and into my mind as I meditated for him were, "He arose from the ashes of your despair." And I thought, oh my goodness, that is so true, because we were truly in despair about where our country was headed.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because we were looking at complete and utter socialism, you know, / communism under a Hillary Clinton regime.
Right. Yes, and the political correctness was removing so much of our freedom.
Right.
You talk about freedom of speech. It was encroaching on that First Amendment all the time, and yet those are the people who talk about freedom of speech, but that's only their speech, not anybody else's.
Exactly. Yep. And what country? Well, you said Africa. Which country were you in Africa?
I was 2 years in Somalia, just as the civil war was breaking out. We got out sort of just in time, but even when I was there, we lived in a house. My husband was the U.S. Military mission chief, and we had guards with AK-47s circling the house inside a wall 24 hours. You kind of get used to it, but is that freedom? No. And then, I realized that, I never would want to be there without diplomatic immunity, because in a country like that, you can be picked up and thrown in prison, and that's it.
And that's it.
No rights, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So going back to "He arose from the ashes of our despair." Now this isn't like you're not saying, Donald Trump is like the savior, like they did try to frame Barack Hussein Obama as like a savior. You're not saying that. You're just saying we were in such despair.
Because beyond that, then one morning, I do believe that many other people found this same scripture, but it was Isaiah 45, and it was at the time when they were saying he was such a horrible person and such a bad person, and it came to me that God never chose perfect men or perfect people to carry out his greatest work. And my Bible just happened to open up at Isaiah 45. I started to read it, and it was the story of Cyrus and how God anointed him, called him by name, gave him a title of honor, and sent him into Babylon to free the Jews and the slaves. And you know, just last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke about that very same verse.
Oh, did he really?
The Jews.
Okay.
He did, yes. And there was so much beyond that. And then a little, about maybe 2 weeks later, it hit me. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 45, he'll be our 45th president. So then I felt a little more free to talk about it, and I have. But there were a lot of things beyond that affirmed it to me that this man was the strong warrior that this country needed. There is no one who would be able to stand up against, Kim Jong-un.
Right.
There's no one.
Right.
Look at what he's doing.
He might be sipping tea with him.
and I predicted that. I told CNN that in an interview, but they left it on the cutting room floor. I think they thought I was a little crazy.
Oh, you actually suggested that
this
might happen?
Them. Yes,
oh,
I did.
That's great.
I said, I am telling you right now that our president will one day sit across the table, and I said, from Little Rocket Man. I texted the producer the other day. I said, do you want me to come back and say I told you so?
Oh, that's great. Well, I think he's so underestimated.
Underestimated.
When I think of the fake news, the far left news, I mean, I do sometimes wonder, do they actually believe what they say? Or is it just they're so far left, they so want to see our country tank that, I don't know. I mean, do you think they believe what they say? Because you've been on there. You've been interviewed by how many different stations? Or name some of them that you've been on, because this last year.
Oh, my gosh.
And
actually, a lot internationally. Australia, Japan, China, Al Jazeera, Deutsche Welle, Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, BBC England, ITV, Ireland, you name it, Mexico, Colombia,
NBC. This, Alice, when you go back and you look at their coverage, are they splicing and dicing what you're saying as the head of Virginia Women for Trump, or do you not get a chance
foreign,
to go back and look at
the foreign media? The foreign media are much fairer, I think. Some of them, but then some of them I don't even see it because it's gone. But until I get a little bit of hate mail, I got a little bit of hate mail from Australia, and it's really funny. I've been interviewed 3 times, and each time the same woman will do it. She'll tell me how how dreadful I am, and then tell me how dreadful the president is. And the last time she had put a heading to the oldest Barbie in the world. So I wrote back and I said, "Oh, thank you. I take that as a compliment. I wear it as a badge of honor." Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so when you're being interviewed with the foreign media, and I know all the questions can range, but has anything struck you as far as what are they most interested in? Is there anything that's is there a commonality between what they want to know?
Well, when they interview me, it's always about women and why women support him.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been that. And I've been interviewed 3 times on a talk show in Ireland, which it's the most listened to talk show, and it's once a week, and it's the same thing. And that one was good because I would get like half an hour to give my opinions, and then others would come back and challenge me. But it appears that especially in Europe, the media has done such a good job. They know nothing. They know nothing other than what the media puts out there, and they're not curious enough to do any research and find out if there's a different side.
Well, thank goodness they're interviewing you, because you've got the inside scoop.
Well, I do my best. I do my best.
Well, let me ask you this. What would you like every woman across America to know about Donald Trump? But it's not just about Donald Trump. In addition, what they should be considering or reconsidering, because they've been fed spoonfuls, platefuls, and platterfuls of fake news, lies, distortions, rhetoric. And you, working this in a different way, from a different perspective, what do you think they should know?
Well, number one, the left have been screaming for transparency for years. They've got it with this president. He is so transparent, I don't know what else they want. Number two, they need to understand that when he's at a rally, he's having a conversation, just like if you were at a party and having a conversation with everyone in the room. So it's totally different to when you're sitting, and he interjects, what he's doing and what he's achieved. But it's totally different to sitting down with a statesman like Netanyahu,
right,
or the president of China. He takes on a different persona when he does that. Is he presidential? Yes, of course. He's just a very gracious man and a very, very magnanimous. And this country can be really, really proud of the way he handles himself abroad. Have you ever heard him? Really, has there been any criticism of what he's done when he's gone on those state visits? If there was, I didn't hear it.
What, no.
Or there was nothing of substance.
Well, exactly. And if he had done something wrong, you would have heard about it.
You would have heard about it.
Yeah.
He is so respected. And, having lived 13 years in China, I can tell you that there is no way they would have given him that welcome if they didn't totally respect him, because that's what they would call giving face. And you don't give face to someone you don't respect.
Right.
And that was proven when Obama had to walk down the back stairs and there was not even the red carpet for him.
Oh, I totally forgot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I know the Chinese, I know I know the Chinese. You know, my first husband was Chinese, and my three wonderful sons are half Chinese.
Mm-hmm. And so Obama did not even get the red carpet and had to go down the back steps.
He had to go down the back steps. They didn't even bring out the steps onto the tarmac for him. And
okay.
For President Trump, I've never seen anything like it.
Right.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that tells you an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. So
same thing in Japan, same thing in South Korea.
Right. Okay. Well, you're more on top of this than I am, how he's being received abroad. I mean, I've watched a few, but not as many as you have. But going back to what we would want every woman in America to know, number one was to recognize how transparent Donald Trump has actually been. The second one you mentioned was that his style, that if he's at a big rally, I mean, he's going to be his transparent, rough and tumble, maybe rough around the edges self, but yet he knows all the etiquette, all the protocol when he's entertaining, high-level representation from foreign countries. What else should women just pause? I mean, let's just pause. I mean, I want every woman to recognize there is fake news, and I know that now sounds like such a line, but these big corporations that own all the media, this is why I love America Out Loud so much, because we can speak the truth and nobody's going to edit what we're saying here. But these mainstream media, and this includes Fox News to a certain degree. Let's face it. It's not
gosh. Shepard Smith, I turn him off every time.
Yep.
Yep.
he might as well have an anti-Trump sign on his forehead.
That's right, But you know, what I really want women to know and everyone to know is this man loves this country. He loves this country with a passion, and he loves the people of this country, all people of this country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way they have said that he's racist is so that is so outrageous.
No.
They don't even, you go back a few years and see all of the awards he's gotten in New York.
I have watched that. Oh yeah, it was Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, the black leaders. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This man doesn't have a racist bone in his body, you know, not a racist hair on his head. He just loves the American people, you know. And loves this country, and this is his legacy. These are the last years of his life when he could be enjoying everything that he has worked for.
Well, and he loves family. When you look at all of his kids, none of them have messed up, royally.
No. Doesn't that speak volumes? Doesn't that speak volumes?
Absolutely, it does.
He doesn't even have one black sheep in the family.
Right.
Which often happens.
Well, I think the other consideration is he has more to lose. If America goes down, he has more to lose than anybody or, most people. So he has such a vested interest in the success of the United States of America. The other thing
But his vested interest is not on whether he loses or not. He has already lost. You know, I believe that he's gone from 4-point-something billion to 3-point-something because they've come after him, his businesses, his children, their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So he has lost a lot. And, you know, he's giving the man works. I think he works 20 out of the 24 hours.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that before. He has an inordinate amount of energy and he only requires, what is it, like 3 or 4 hours of sleep, something like that? And then, what I meant by just having, so many people, all the different accusations against Donald Trump, and he's going to kill America, destroy this country, and all this. No, put on your big boy britches and recognize.
That's right. What's wrong with making America great again?
Exactly.
What's wrong with lowering taxes? What's wrong with improving the employment figures? You know, what's wrong with everything good that he's doing? What's wrong with having fair trade with China? Trade, yes, but fair trade.
And on
what's
that note,
wrong
Alice,
with wanting to protect this country?
And on that note, Alice, we're going to pause, take a break, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, Alice, we're talking about all the lies that are spewed at Donald Trump, you know, from being a racist person to wanting to destroy America. And we're here to say, no, he's all about making America great again. There's nothing wrong with lowering taxes. There's nothing wrong with smaller government. There's nothing wrong with equipping our military, which had really been drained during the eight years of Barack Obama. What are your thoughts on some of this?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with keeping our country safe. There's nothing wrong with providing more jobs. There's nothing wrong with people getting bonuses. For 10 years, people hardly got a raise. And this year, people were getting raises and they were getting bonuses. And it's just going to get better and better. And I mean, how can you see that there's anything wrong with any of that? It's beyond me.
Well, I think the people in West Virginia, where Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were, basically shutting down the coal industry.
Right. And coal's coming back. Steel's coming back.
Yep.
Companies are bringing their money back in here and reinvesting it in this country.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal what he's doing, but you don't hear anything about that on the mainstream media.
Right.
So that's why it is up to us to try and get that message out. But one thing we have to be very careful of is not to get down in the weeds, not to focus on all of that stuff, and not to fear. You know, God tells us, perfect love casts out all fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know, I firmly believe that God put this man in place for us. And now it is up to us to pray for his strength, for his protection, to put God's light around him every day, but also to bring that light into our own hearts and shine it out. Because if we're going around with doom and gloom, oh my gosh, did you hear this? What are we going to do? No.
Right.
God, you know, God put him in place. Now our job is to uplift him and keep him going and keep God's light shining on him.
Well,
as we shine that light out, we can attract others.
Right. And I think it is so beautiful, the large numbers of minorities, Hispanic, Black, Asian, who are supporting Donald Trump. And the media can't hide it. Because, I mean, I know a number of African-Americans, they are so pro-Donald Trump. They're so glad that he's not, I think they're so glad he's not a rhino. And
I think that they're thinking that I think the Black Americans are waking up to the fact that their vote has been taken for granted for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're realizing now that that's not the way to go. The American dream is there for everyone, but you will not get there if you're taking handouts.
Right.
The American dream is, and it's possible. That's the amazing thing about this country. It's possible to get an education, no matter who you are. It's possible to work hard and achieve your dreams.
Well, one of my favorite civil rights leaders, and I know I've mentioned it on another show before, but it's Frederick Douglass. And because of who he was and who he became, and, from poor, uneducated, illiterate slave child to becoming so articulate, so well-read, a fantastic writer, and, you know, presidential advisor to numerous presidents, entrepreneur. You know, you just go down the list. It's like, oh, if I could just do like one third of what that man did, you know, it would be like, oh, yes, you're successful. But what strikes me is if Frederick Douglass, who, and I'm paraphrasing one of his quotes, but he wanted the government to leave black people alone, just leave them alone so they can mm-hmm. be industrious. And so, mm-hmm. you know, sparing all the details of what happened, what, you know, what went wrong with, you know, so many ending up on the government dole, you know, it was a Democrat party thing. But anyway, not that we're really getting into mm-hmm. all that today. But I want to challenge listeners to this. Number one, Donald Trump is not racist. His whole history proves he's not racist. Just get on the internet, Google all the different things he did in minority community up in New York and beyond. But let's just say he was. If for a minority person and you think he's racist toward a minority person, so what? Even if he was the worst racist in the world, what you want is to be able to feed your family, have great economic opportunity, and make the best that you can in the United States of America. Well, you would never do it under a socialist economy. You'd never do it under basically the platform that the Democrat Party is spewing. But what will work is if there's great jobs, upward mobility, you got freedom, you got religious liberty, you know, saved, all these different things, you're going to thrive, even if he was a racist person, which he's not.
Yes, but I won't even think in that direction or have anyone think in that direction. I would say, please Google, please find out who he is. You will find out that this man was never racist, is not racist. And the things that they quote him as having said to justify their position are all, like Diamond and Silk would say, they're all twisters.
That's it.
And for instance, he did not call all he didn't say all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. No, he said some of them. And we have enough proof to know that that happens. Every single day we hear something about some illegal alien who's killed someone, run somebody over, or done something really egregious. So that's what he was talking about.
Right.
And at the same time, he was talking about our sovereignty. We're entitled to our sovereignty. Tell me any country in the world where you can just walk in and say, okay, here I am. I have no money, but give me an apartment and give me food and give me education for my kids and everything else. That is crazy. That does not mean that we aren't a wonderful, charitable country. I mean, whenever there's a natural disaster, who's first there? The United States.
Right.
We have given more in not just in money, but in the blood of our own treasure to save people in other countries.
Mm-hmm. And you have traveled to many of those countries who were beneficiaries of of what America could provide.
Exactly.
And
I've also seen how it was misused and how it never got to where it was supposed to get to.
Right. Exactly. So let's go back to, and actually before I wrap up that thought, so I do want to encourage everybody, if you suspect that, wait a minute, I keep hearing Donald Trump is racist, just go Google, go on to YouTube videos, whatever, just Google the articles. What you're going to find is President Donald Trump in his private citizen days. It was, still is, a philanthropist. He was all about racial reconciliation. And a lot of these leaders, okay, whether they're white or black, they were buddy-buddy with Donald Trump back then. And so so the same people who want to accuse him of all this, they were praising him for reaching out to the minority community. So let's set the record straight. And then once you've got it straight, go share it with somebody else because you've been lied to.
Yes, and we don't have time now, but there's so many stories of how charitable he was in so many cases that he didn't do it in public because he never wanted publicity for it. But that man has a great heart, a generous heart, and he has a wonderful feeling for all Americans, for all people. He loves people, period.
And speaking of people, you have something coming up in Virginia on June 24th. Tell us all about it.
Yes. Well, you know, with Virginia Women for Trump, one of the ways that I've kept the women energized is by holding events. Mostly they were very, you know, they were either free or just at the cost, like my inaugural ball was only $35, and it was an amazing event, and we just packed the place out. But once a year, we have this really fancy event. It's a little more expensive, but it's well worth it. It's at the Trump International Hotel, and this is our second annual Tea for Trump to celebrate his birthday. So it is always on the Sunday after his birthday. This year it will be on June 24th, and it's the Eventbrite is out. If you go on Eventbrite for a Tea for Trump birthday extravaganza, yeah, Tea for Trump birthday extravaganza, you'll find it. The tickets are $100 each, but for that you get the high tea, you get amazing speakers, and we have, you know, we're going to be adding names, wonderful speakers, an amazing fashion show, and this is not just a fashion show with amateurs with clothes from Lord & Taylor or Neiman Marcus. This is, I don't pronounce it very well, haute couture or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but these are this is Andre Soriano with his best evening gowns. It will be fabulous. And he is also going to unveil the new MAGA dress, Make America Great Again dress.
Oh, now awesome. Okay.
Yes. It might become the CAG dress because it might be the Keep America Great dress. We haven't quite figured out. But that wonderful blue dress with the Make America Great on it and Trump around the bottom, mm-hmm. he was the designer and owner of that. He's taken back possession of it. There's a little story behind it. He wasn't happy with the person who was modeling it and what she did with it. So we're off to a new start. It's going to be fabulous. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you're going to hear the most interesting speakers. And
Alice, are you
now.
Able to share any names yet of confirmed
speakers?
We have
Steve Moore, who was the senior economic advisor to the president, and he was co-author of the tax plan. And Steve is not only a great intellect, he is so funny. And I've had him speak many times. And so when I call up, I'll say, Steve, this is your favorite Virginia woman for Trump. And he'll say, okay, Alice, what do you want? So we have him. And we have Tana Gertz, who's flying in from Iowa. And she was on The Apprentice 12 years ago, came in third, and maintained a friendship with President Trump and his family all those years. Mm-hmm. She actually is responsible for winning Iowa for the president. She's an amazing speaker. She is the grassroots personified. So we will have her, and we are just awaiting confirmation of a very, very big name. Mm-hmm. And that will be coming soon, but don't wait for it, because get your seats early. I'm allocating seating as you pay.
Right.
So it will be a ladies wear hats, you know, get yourself a straw hat or something. We all wear hats. We dress to the hilt. Mm-hmm. If you have a man who decides he must come, they can't stay away from us, he should wear a business suit.
A business suit, okay. Yes. And where do they go to get tickets?
Eventbrite. Eventbrite, and just go to Eventbrite and look for Tea for Trump Birthday Extravaganza. It'll pop up for you.
Well,
and we
fun.
Are going to, we have the presidential ballroom, and we are going to fill it with 1,000, mostly women. But like I said, yeah, if you want to bring your husband, you can.
Okay.
And we're also going to have Angela Knight, who's an opera singer with the Washington National Opera. She has an amazing voice. So it's going to be a phenomenal afternoon from 2 to 5 on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, I encourage people all over. I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic if you had representation from all 50 states? You know?
Wouldn't it? Well, actually, what I need to mention is that Virginia Women for Trump has gone national. And we now have, and I just started that a couple of months ago, and I now have state directors, we call it under the mothership, Virginia Women for Trump, And I have Louisiana, Connecticut, Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, California, Minnesota, Nevada, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Colorado, Washington, D.C. And it's like every day I get one more.
That's fantastic. And so and so they start their own, whatever you want to call it, branches?
And
or,
So I set them up with a Facebook page. They start getting, and it's amazing that, you know, that the interest that they're getting. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, we're all the same name. We're Virginia Women for Trump, Louisiana Women for Trump, Connecticut Women for Trump. So we keep it consistent. And there's at least 8 of those state directors flying in for the event. Mm-hmm. We also have people coming from Mar-a-Lago, and we have a number of congressional wives, mm-hmm. and a lot of VIPs very, very interested in it. The majority of the tickets are $100, so it will be. It's the biggest bargain ever, because it really is about like a $1,000 event in the amazing Trump Hotel.
I've actually spoken in there in a campaign event. I was in the, I guess it was called the Lincoln Room. Anyway, it was a great event. Let's see. So we have just enough time to tell about your truck before we get into the nuts and bolts of what does it look like to be spreading the word about campaign, the Liberty, and all that good stuff, which we'll cover in the next section. But tell our friends about your truck, what you did with your old truck. It played a key role in Donald Trump's victory.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I bought this red F-150. 1993, maybe 1995. I think it was 1993, for $3,000. Brought it home, and of course it needed a lot more money before we could get it on the road. And my husband built a name frame on it, and it has Virginia Women for Trump, Make America Great Again, America First, Jobs, Jobs, Jobs. And so I would truck around in this old thing, and everyone was talking about the polls at one point, and I drove down 95 South to speak to the Susan B. Allen Republican Women's Club at Lake of the Woods, and I said, look, you don't have to worry, because I have taken a poll, and here it goes. I said, every big truck, thumbs up. Every small business van, thumbs up. Every guy who likes blondes but didn't know how old I am, thumbs up.
I love it.
Couldn't tell how old I was. Thumbs up. So, you know, that's it. Done. He's going to win. And he did. We had a lot. I named him the Donald.
That's right. I couldn't remember the name. The Donald.
Yeah, it's the Donald. Donald. Yeah, he traumatized some of my neighbors, but that's all right.
And on that note, we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what do Virginia Women for Trump, what do we do when we're on the ground? What does it look like? How can you get involved? How can you have a great time in saving this country, making it great, and then keeping it great? We'll be right back.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You're back with Terry Beatley and Alice Butler Short. We are talking about Virginia Women for Trump. And what they've now started is Virginia High Schoolers for Trump for the 2020 election. Alice, can you fill us in? What are these high schoolers going to be doing? What's the purpose? And why are these groups so important? And how can people get involved?
Well, there was a young woman who was watching my Facebook and texting me, and finally I spoke with her on the phone, and I found out that they are out there, but they had no home to go to, And so I felt that they needed, if they had mentorship and events and things like that to get them enthused, we could really capitalize on this. And what we want to do is, what I want to do is get every high school student who will be able to vote in 2020, get them registered and get them pointed in the right direction and create a database. And I did not realize I had a couple of kids come last week. They drove all the way from the furthest point of Loudoun County, almost at the West Virginia border. And they are so enthused. And when I finish up with you, I have some kids coming again tonight. But they are so excited about having a base, having a mentor, or having a home. And so we're going to be having events for them, or at least a meeting once a month, like I have for Virginia Women, with a high-profile speaker. So that draws the crowd. That's how I keep women motivated too. People will come out if there's a purpose for it, not for just a meeting, but if there's like a great speaker like Steve Moore, or I'm having Colonel Tony Schaefer on April 4th, mm-hmm. It makes it interesting. And so it's easy to keep the organization going by doing that.
You know who would be great to invite, and maybe you've already invited her, but you don't have to say, I think it would be so fun to listen to Sarah Huckabee.
I know.
Oh my gosh, she would be
fantastic. Yeah, I have it on the. It's in the bucket list.
On that wish list.
I'm working every angle I can. Every angle I can. Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know,
and
what
also, I can get White House tours for them. I can get them to Congress men, women's offices. I can even get them to meet some of the cabinet ministers, and so. Cabinet members, my British mm-hmm. background's coming into play. This makes it so interesting for them. So rather than just getting together in their own little groups, we need to create motivation for them.
Right.
And it's easy. This young girl that I've put in charge of this area, she's dynamite. She already writes. She wrote a great article on the Second Amendment.
Well, you know, once you get your numbers up, Charlie Kirk, are you familiar with Charlie Kirk?
Yes.
Yeah, Charlie mm-hmm. Kirk, golly, he would be a great person to have come in and address, you know, the high schoolers, mm-hmm. you know, with his great messaging about why socialism is bad. So I just mm-hmm. think he's got such a powerful message. And the more of that kind of messaging we can, I mean, it's truth. The more of that truth that we can get to these young people. I'm very opinionated about this, that anybody who voted to make America great again, we should be so concerned that our young people who go out to these, you know, government-run schools, let's call it for what it is, it's a government-run school, good, bad, or indifferent, but they're being taught, the majority of them are being taught that socialism is good. I mean, yeah, socialism is good, and the free enterprise system is bad. They're being taught mm-hmm. that the free enterprise system, it's all rigged, and that profits are immoral, and that if you're successful in business, well, you're just lucky. Well, good mm-hmm. God. The backbone of America, it's been free enterprise, right?
It has.
Free
hard
enterprise.
Work. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm concerned, and I don't know if people, I don't know what age bracket, I just know that so many people are not aware that this socialism stuff is just being crammed down the throats of American youth. So by the time they get out, they then base their voting decisions on the lies that they were taught in high school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then they go to college and, oh my gosh, then they're, American parents spend so much money to have their children indoctrinated in socialism.
Right.
It beats me, you know, in these Ivy League schools especially.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the key, another key thing about Donald Trump, he was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Right. People don't realize that he started working on the buildings when he was 12 years old.
And his dad was still trying to make it. I mean, he was still, you know, a hardworking entrepreneur. And I don't know to what degree he was successful or not by the time Donald was old enough. But the point is he learned how to work and get dirty. And
absolutely. And, you know, I actually know a woman who's 80, She's, oh my gosh, she's 89 now. She was 87 when I met her a couple of years ago. And she and her husband own a flooring company, very successful family business in Springfield here. And she and her husband, they were very young from West Virginia and started off in Maryland managing three buildings for Fred Trump. And he used to come down once a month to inspect and to take the money out of it from out of the washing machines. And Donald Trump used to come with him and to check. He used to check everything to see everything was in place. So that's what he was doing as a teenager, yeah. And that's what Fred Trump was doing.
And you know, many teenagers today are playing and video games.
Yes. And she said they treated her and her husband like family. They were amazing to them.
Oh. Well, yeah, these are the stories that I think need to get out there. Another one, I wish I knew her name. I should have looked it up before interviewing you. But she is, I believe she's a Black American. I don't know if she's Hispanic, but she's minority. She helps run the Trump Foundation, the one that I think it's Eric Trump runs. And she came out of the gate letting people know that Donald Trump was not racist and all this and mm-hmm. kind of giving the backstory.
Lynn Patton. Lynn Patton. Yeah. Well, she just felt compelled to come out because she'd worked for him for so many years and knew him so intimately and knew what the entire family was like. And that that video is, if you go to YouTube, Lynn Patton, P-A-T-T-O-N, you can pull that up. And she came out and said she just couldn't stand what she was hearing the media say about him, which was so untrue.
Well, so we have a platform here, so I encourage everybody, if you're questioning that, just go look up Lynn Patton. And it's P-A-T-T-O-N?
Mm-hmm.
P-A-T-T-O-N.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Alice.
And the one thing I'd like to say, if you are a Trump woman, don't be afraid. Don't feel like you have to whisper it or you have to do it behind closed doors. No, this is, you know, this. I always think back to my years across the border from communist China. This is what they do in those countries. We do not have to be afraid. Stand tall. Stand tall, stand proudly, and get out there. And the more they see that we're unafraid, the better it will be.
Right.
So don't hide. Don't hide. I wear my MAGA pin all the time. People say, what does that mean? Make America great again. And, you know, then they come out of the woodwork. Oh, my gosh, I'm a Trump person, too. They whisper. Young people are wonderful once you strike up a conversation with them.
Well, for me, I always do it with my Uber and or my taxi drivers. And by the time mm-hmm. I get to wherever my destination is, they want more information. So it's
That's
so
right.
easy if you know just different talking points. The mm-hmm. the last one, let's see, just the other day in Arlington, Virginia, he was from Cameroon, Africa. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I said, well, tell me, what do you want to do? Because he was about, I don't know, like 30 years old. He said, I want to own an ABC store. And he said, I live in Maryland. And he began to explain why he wants to own an ABC store. He's always wanted to own a small business. And I don't know, I guess he sees lots of demand for alcohol or something. But that's what he wants to do. And he proceeded to explain to me why he will be successful. And I said, do you recognize as a young man in America, do you see it where so many people are just apathetic, like your age, and they don't have hopes and dreams, and they don't even understand what America offers them? And he, for the rest of the car ride, I listened to him, Alice, explain to mm-hmm. me. And you know what he wanted to watch by the time it was done? And I explained to him, there are reasons why a lot of people are hopeless, why they've been, so anyway, and I told him, I gave him five videos to watch, and I wrote him down five books to read. The first mm-hmm. video, I said, look, go watch Hillary's America. And I gave him $10 mm-hmm. so he could go to Walmart and go buy himself a copy. I said, because this mm-hmm. is the kind of video you and all your buddies go get your six-pack of beer, and on Friday night, sit down and watch Hillary's America, and you will understand what the Democrat Party has done to the United States of America. Not that the Republican Party has been pristine and perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, both of them have drifted too far left. But I said, this will explain the reasons behind the despair. it to understand how the Democrat Party has lied up one side and down the other, hoodwinked, and tried to divide and conquer our nation. And I said, but when young people like you come to our country, and it's like, this guy so got it. He's so on fire. He's an Uber driver. Now, I don't know if he does something else, like a nighttime job or something. He is trying to raise $100,000, so he doesn't want a big bank loan when he tries to go get his ABC license and all this. Mm-hmm. But he's got hopes and dreams, and he's working hard for it. Oh, it was so... I felt so encouraged by the time I got to my destination. And he turned around, he said, nobody has ever shared this kind of truth with me. This is how we're going to make America great again, just like
this
you said.
This is it. Speak and it. This is the power of women, because we're open. We will talk to anyone.
Yep.
We're passionate. Men won't do it. The power is with women. And in Virginia, it's Virginia women. So go get it. You know, we will turn Virginia red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can and we must. And, well, there are all sorts of issues, you know, that can touch people's heart. Let's see. Mm-hmm. So, okay, walk us through, let's just say it's 6 months before the election of 2020. What are Virginia Women for Trump doing? Let's kind of get even more specific. Like if you were strategizing, like what would you want to see in a perfect world after you've got thousands and thousands of more women all registered and they're all fired up? What would it look like county by county? What would women be doing? The Women for Trump.
They would be doing one thing, registering new voters. That is the secret. That is the secret of turning Virginia red. It's simple as that. There's nothing more. And, of course, you know, we will gather together, we will celebrate, we will laugh, we will cheer, we will do all of this stuff because, you know, we want to keep the movement energized. But the work on the ground will be registering new voters.
Well, my question on that is, well, what if you're registering lots of people and they turn right around and vote for the socialist person?
Well, yes, no, because you talk to them. You talk to them. You talk to them and... you see, when you start talking, it will be obvious where you're coming from, right? And that's how you pull people in. And there are pockets in Virginia where the voter registration is very low. There are a lot of people out there who are not registered, and a lot of what we might say minorities. You know, I found that even standing at the polls, if you got a person who spoke mostly Spanish coming, and you stopped them and you explained to them, this is why you should vote for this person, you could change their minds on the way in.
Oh, it's they were within walking, seconds. Yes, absolutely.
Within seconds, yes. Yeah. So this is it, the power of speaking one-on-one. And we can all do it. We can all do it.
Well, I remember during the 2011, you know, Virginia election, when you and I met after the defeat of that Virginia senator. I mean, my experience had been by going in to the minority community, and of course, one of the issues near and dear to my heart is the life issue. Because if we don't protect babies in the womb, we have nothing. If we can't protect the least of these, we have nothing. And I believe nothing. God won't bless our nation if we cannot protect babies in the womb. And just to set the record straight, the word fetus means living child. So I went into a minority community, and I'm educating people on the street about the history of Planned Parenthood and black genocide. And Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, called it the Negro Project. And I mean, just by the grace of God connecting me to the right people, many people wanted to see the pro-life person win. And it hardly had anything to do with Democrat, Republican. It was just they wanted to stand on principle. Nobody had loved them with the truth. Nobody in all the decades,
gone
by.
And you know, there's a, I'm trying to find it now as we speak because I wasn't ready for this. But there's a verse in Jeremiah that you know, I have, and I can't, I'm paraphrasing, you know, I've known you in your mother's womb. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Would that, I mean, that tells you right there, it's not a fetus.
Exactly. And so, I mean, God has plans for each and every one of us, and we're killing off the very people who will cure cancer and come up with great new inventions and all this. Now, I don't want to get talking about, you know, that particular issue, but my point is that when we reach out to people who don't look like us, but you reach out with all the right reasons, one thing we all have in common, I know you know this, Alice, we want to be able to provide for our families. We want economic liberty, and nobody should be wanting economic equality, because that means just misery for everybody. But what we want is economic opportunity. So just like that young man from Cameroon, he can bust his chops here in the United States. He can dream big. And I can tell you right now, I don't know if he'll end up with an ABC business, but that young man, he will be a business owner that Donald Trump will one day want to shake his hand and say, well done, young man.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what this country has to offer that most other countries don't. You really can. You know, in these socialist countries, I was interviewed by someone from Finland. And yeah, they're all okay there, but nobody's ever going to get rich. Right. And what's wrong with getting rich?
There's nothing wrong. Well, and I think for the benefit of maybe someone listening who doesn't understand this is, God makes us creative, and we have creative outlets, and then ultimately that can provide for economic liberty. And when you're a wealthy person and a good steward of those profits, you can do a lot of good with that money.
You can do a lot of good.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Instead mm-hmm. of thinking everybody's supposed to have the same, and we'll leave it up to the government officials to figure out who gets this and who gets that. And we know that it's just that select few that end up being in power and with all the riches. So, we could go on and on.
The difference in this country is that anyone who wants to study and anyone who wants to work hard will make it.
That's right.
Will achieve the American dream at whatever level they want to. But in other countries, you can have the education, you can have the drive, you can have everything, but there are no jobs. And there's just a two-level society, those who have and those who don't.
Right.
And if we have socialism, it will be just that, because there will be the hierarchy on the top level, what they call it, the Politburo or something, the Politburo, right?
Mm-hmm.
In North Korea, do you think Little Rocket Man doesn't live in a mansion? Of course he does, while the people outside are starving.
They're starving. So, and so with that in mind, we're going to wrap this up. Alice, thank you for being on.
And we're going to keep America great.
We are. We're going to keep America great. And Donald Trump and all the great leadership and leadership just like you, Alice, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for being on. What if we've been wrong? Shining light in dark places. And we are debunking all that fake news about Donald Trump. All right. Thank you, Alice. And we're going to have you back
on
in the future. All right.
Keep shining the light.
I will.